It's your bread and butter. It's your lifeline to reality when pain and suffering have distorted. You see, your pain and suffering can lie to you about your identity. And therefore, God has set it up for crazy preachers to remind you over and over again, if you would come, that you are going through or that who you think you are, that is not who you are. You are who God said you are. You see, you and I cannot put anything, anybody above God. We got to realize how important it is to let Christ have the preeminence in our life. Now, he has the preeminence, but it has to become personal because we say he's our personal Savior. As we sojourn here, as we are on this journey of life, it's not measured in miles, it's measured in years. We don't know how many years each and every one of us are going to have sojourning here. But it's not measured in miles, but how many years? Now, at some point, under the pressure, God got to be real to me and real to you. So therefore, it changes our perspective of how we listen to the word of God. We're not listening to the word of God as it's just another story. It's just something that I do. It's a religious thing. No, it's my lifeline to reality of who I really am. So you really are who God say you are. I don't care what folks call you or what they think of you. It's all about what God called you. It's all about what God think of you. See, folk can think little of you, but I know one who's greater than the folk who think little of me that think a whole lot about me. How do I know? He demonstrated at Calvary how much. Not that he cared for me, but how much he cared for me. Oh, the word of God got to come real to you. You see, my son is doing a series of the valley experience, what you learn in the valley. You see, because from time to time, you're going to find yourself in a valley of life. Right? But there's some experience down there. And I want to kick this in. The experience that when you're in a valley, you still got a shot. When you are in the valley, you still got access to God. His line ain't busy. And when you're in the valley, God is in the valley with you. You see, because God dwells in the believer in the person of the Holy Ghost. And also he says, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Now watch this. I need you more in the valley than I need you on the mountaintop. So I got to believe the word of God. Because there are many valleys on this journey. I'm listening, Brother Ricks, when you preach. Not at this point in my life. This can't be nothing to me. Because my whole life is dependent on what God said. Getting up in the morning, wanting to try again, wanting to go on for God when everything in me says stop. Caring for people when everything in me says, what about you, man? You dying on the vine. Where did your strength come from to help somebody else? When you're like living in the valley, gotta be real. It gets me up. It makes me take the drive here again. It makes me hug my queen. Keep her looking good. Say, let's go, baby. I'll wait on you. You take your time. You move a little slow now. I move a little slow now. So I have to see this as reality. Every believer, you shortchange yourself when you see this as biblical stories, Bible stories. This is the word of God. God breathed out of his mouth. Holy Ghost wrote. Not of any private interpretation. He used men's as ink pens to do his bidding. I'm saying this because there are some serious things in people's lives, and it will continue to come. Even death will come. But we got to hold on to one who conquered death. Death couldn't hold him. Firstborn. My God, my God. Let's look at a few things and that may, hopefully it will help us along the way. Paul understood this. Paul called for thankful people. Let's look at Philippians first. I want to look at, see, can I get this? Philippians 1:7, 1 Peter 4:13, 2 Peter 1:4. I don't think I gave you those, Steve. Are you there? Okay, I don't think I gave you these, but Philippians 1, 7, 1 Peter 4, 13, and 2 Peter 1, 4. And Colossians 1, 3, and verse 12, let me, I'm in between two things I want to look at, but let me look at first. You're fasting, you bro. But let's go back to Colossians first, Steve, and we're gonna come back to that. Colossians 1. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Now, this is one of Paul's prison epistles. And Paul is still being thankful to God for the help that he's receiving from these people. But it's letting us know, no matter what Paul went through, he knew something about God that he was serving, that he could still have a thankful heart. You see, a lot of times we're gonna go through something, but God wants us to be mature with our relationship with him. So even though we are going through something and we are suffering, we still can be thankful. See what I'm saying? See, don't let nobody tell you you're not going through. No. See, you gotta deal with the fact of the matter, then you tell people what you got. You don't ignore the fact of the matter, tell me what I got. Because then you got to realize, she goes, here's the thing. You got to address the fact of the matter and let the person know you see the fact of the matter, because it may be a matter that they need some support, a burden to share. All right, so I can't always ship you to Jesus when I got the word in me too. Huh? He's already instructed me that you follow what I'm saying. All right, so we want to be real with this, but we want the word of God and the benefit God have given us to be helpful for us here and now. So now let's go to 12, Steve. One of the things how thankful he was, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. The light has the idea to in the kingdom. Now, look at this. He's in prison. I'm thankful for you guys. And what he's looking at, what he has and gonna have in the future. You gotta see this. And so he is saying, my suffering for Christ but what it's producing is my inheritance, the kingdom. Paul understood that if you live for Christ, you're going to suffer persecution. Paul also understood the world is not Christian. As a whole, we are the minority, not the what? The majority. So we got to understand, I may have pain here, you may have pain there, but it don't take away my inheritance. Huh? And every now and then while I'm here, I got to set my mind on things above and not on things on earth. Things on earth can trouble you so much, you don't mean to do it, but it just happened. Your mind is set on those things. Your mind has a bulldog grip on those troubles. That's why you can see a Christian, everything is just like that. There's pain, there's situation you're going through, but I want you to know, brother or sister, that ain't all. Paul let us know that we have been qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom. So every now and then I got to say, hey, yeah, this is this, but I'm qualified. Yeah, this is this, but just for a moment to get my strength back, I got to move from my pain to the glory. Now, let me tell you something else too, brothers and sisters. God wants you to move there. Because when you move there, you show God, that indicates, come on now, you got to catch this, get your glove out. It indicates you believe God, what he has given you. A lot of people, sisters and brothers, don't move there. They really don't believe it. Paul believed, he believed it. And the reason a lot of times we hurt ourselves worse than we ought to do it, because we see this reality more real than the spiritual reality that God have set for us in glory. God is saying that you are on the Titanic no matter how beautiful it looks. No matter how unsinkable you think it is. There's a due date that I'm going to destroy this world. And I'm trying to get everybody a lifeline through Jesus off of this Titanic called Earth. Playing church, playing Christian, doing your thing, glued to the world, keep on. You see, Peter said, we need to check out our salvation. We need to make sure. You see, and old preacher, we're like Peter. It's not that you don't know, but as long as we're in this tent, we're going to stir you up. We're going to stir you up. And here's the thing. God wrote this love letter to us that we can believe it. You got to go on working for God and living for God and doing what you do for God, really believing that God is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I want to just look at a few other things, and I'll move on, that we are partakers of. Philippians 1:7. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains, he's in prison, and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, you all are, and we'll go again, partakers with me of the grace. We in this thing together, y'all. If you're my brother and sister in the Lord, we in this thing together. So if you're misunderstanding me or preaching of the word of God, is that we are in this thing together. And we need to encourage one another, not overlooking your situations or your troubles, but letting you know that ain't all you got. You know, and sometimes you got to tell your trouble, you ain't the only thing I got. I know because you occupy a lot of my time, you believe that, you start believing that. And I know Satan's intention is not the only that my troubles believe that, they want me to start believing it. Man, I tell you, when you get this thing right, you come to church with a whole different perspective of how to listen to the word of God. It'd be no play game. It'd be so serious that, look, I need something to walk away with. I need to go back home saturated, strengthened from the word of God. I need to hear from God. Okay, so he says that, hey, man, let me tell you, you're partakers of the grace. 1 Peter 4:13, you got that one? But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. See, I need to know, Brother Parker, even though right now I'm in prison, like Paul, whatever your prison is. But I need to know there's some gladness, there's some joy waiting on me. Not waiting on the world, but waiting on those who are partakers of the grace and inheritance of Jesus Christ. You know, we can be so saturated with this world that's like we can't even receive the word of God. And that's all we have. This is a faith thing for us. You got to believe it. Paul believed it. And Paul is, the Holy Spirit is using to write back to the saints. Peter believed it. And to let us know what's in store for us. Because I tell you what, it'd be a sad story if all that we are going through or may go through is all that we got. Huh? We might as well eat and be merry. And just do whatever you want to do. Amen. 2 Peter 1:4. Look at this. And see, you can take some of these, the word of God. You see, that's the word of God. Let that be your aleve, your pill for what's ailing you or what you're going through. Every now and then you got to drop one of these pills of scriptures on your situation that you can feel better. Huh? That you can see the light in the tunnel. All right? He said, look here. By which have been given to us exceedingly great. Look at that. Look at that. Not just great, y'all. Exceedingly great and precious what? Promises. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Oh man, I'm a partaker of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Man, through Jesus' love, we have escaped. We are partakers. We are born again. Our sins have been paid for. Wrap some of these scriptures and part of these verses up for your spiritual appeal. Because you and I may need these in certain times. Because if you lean to your old understanding, you will go crazy. And some of y'all may even hurt somebody or even hurt yourself. But God says, preach my word. These things are written for our learning. Learn from it. You know, man, I'm glad to know that we got something else. Now, let me move on with that. I want to just look at the inheritance that we are heirs with the saints and the King of Kings. We are heirs of righteousness, Hebrews 11:7. Look at this now. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. That's something we need to highlight too. Man, we are asked to do some things down here by faith. And it may be a situation that you haven't seen that done in your life. But God will tell you to go do it. And he expects you to trust him enough to do this. And he wanted Noah to build the ark, the big boat, but it had never rained. But he wanted him to do it, not whether you have seen the rain, Danny. And you see that the flood that's even going on now in some of the cities is flooding out. I need me a boat because the flood's around here. No, you haven't seen it rain. And yet I'm telling you because I'm God to trust me to build it anyway. There are some things in our lives need to be built up with this word of God, though you haven't seen how it could be done. All we have from God is a walk of faith. He's already written everything down about him that he wants us to know and about us. And he's given us our instructions to follow. But he says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. That's it, Hebrew. A lot of times we're not moving because we don't have no godly fear. Man, the fear of God is gone. Can I get an amen? I mean, come on. Are y'all with me? I mean, do you want me to preach the word or go do some other crazy stuff? My knees hurt. I can't be jumping off the pulpit. One preacher called him Batman until he jumped off the last time, broke his leg, stopped jumping. I'm not going to start it because y'all laughed at me when I was in the play and rolled off the pulpit. That was the end of that. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, we are being divinely warned through the scriptures of things you haven't seen, but God is asking you to believe. He said, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Believing God is very important. Benefits in believing God. We are heir of righteousness by our faith. The next one, we are heirs of the kingdom. Look at James 2:5. Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? See, here's a comparison of the world in which we live and the folk who occupy this world with their riches and whatever that they have, and not necessarily saying the poor in this world is going to receive a lot of worldly riches, because what profit a man to gain all the things of the world, the wealth and the fame, and lose his soul? You see, there's a comparison. And tomorrow we go off into eternity being blessed with the inheritance that we have of the kingdom of God, of which he promised to those who love him. Do you love God in here? Yes. Do you love him? Yes. All right, then God has some promises to you. See, so a lot of things that we do because of the promise. There's a promise made to us. A lot of times we stand when we want to fall down because a promise has been made to us. A lot of times we go on and we are strengthened by the promise he made, I never leave you or forsake you. What can man do unto you when God is on your side? We just believe that he is on our side. Now, it's amazing when God tell you go do something, you ain't got no money, you don't know how to do it or what. He say, just move. Start moving. Start moving. I'm a witness. Just start moving. If he told you now. Now don't make a mistake. Think he told you. And he didn't tell you. But if you know in your soul that God told you, you move. You begin to move. And you can move and say, God, I don't see nothing. God, I know what you told me, but I can't find no wood to build an ark. cannot find no pegs to keep it together. A hammer get the animals in. No, he moved. And you see, God, Adam, see, God sometimes have the things that you need for the task in which he gave you, but it's not right here with you. You get it on the move. As you move in faith, pick up the wood. As you move in faith, along the way, you pick up the animals. As you move by faith, God put it all together. And once you cast the last peg on that ark, get the family in place, all the food for the family and the animals that God told you, because you're finding it as you're moving by faith. Some things ain't located where you are, because God told you to move. You crying about you don't have this, have that. You have, did God tell you to move? Did you move? You still in the same place. And God, but Noah didn't do that. So he, see God, when God see you moving, he know you believe him. See, when God told me to build this sanctuary, I started moving. At first, I wasn't moving. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I had slowed up until the sister caught me at Walmart. I tell that story, but it goes as a good example right here. Sister Wilson, she was so excited about the new sanctuary, and that's an example of by faith, because she didn't live to see it. Jean didn't live to see it. You follow what I'm saying? But they would always ask me how do it look, and from memory I could tell them. Okay, but she was talking about Brother Newby and her. I challenged Newby, and she going to hold me while she's talking, so I couldn't get away. And I told him I'm going to match money with him because we're going to build that. And I said, Lord. And they're like, Lord, I got this vivid imagination. Like the Lord looked at me, tell her you ain't moving. And if you know her, no matter what I'm talking about, that Lord, wow, that her faith. You challenge y'all getting some money? Monday morning, I went downtown. This is a true story. I went down to the senior engineer, walked in his office. He said, who y'all, some Pastor Ricks on Bamboo Road and whatever? I need to know what I need to do to build a sanctuary on the property. He said, we got you. You in the right place. We can tell you everything you need. I said, first thing, Pastor, you need a civil engineer. Okay. And you need the Army Corps engineers because you're on wetland. Okay? I mean, and what I'm saying, along the way as I begin to move, God gave me I went to one civil engineer. Man, the price was out of this world. Nope, that ain't the one. I kept moving. Then I found two engineers that had graduated from Old Dominion. And I went to say, I got two sons graduating from Old Dominion. Huh? And his price, whoo, real good. But I had to go up to Franklin somewhere. I went Franklin. I went to Emporia too. I went all around the place. What I found, no matter where you have to move, or how you have to move, or how many people you have to talk to, if God has a prerequisite, when you, because see, sometimes you know what God is saying to you and nobody else will. And you have some doubters. God ain't told them that. I can tell you what God, yeah, you can't tell nobody what God said to nobody. And don't be that crazy when God have told you and somebody else come along and tell you to do something different from what God told you to do. Be careful. I can tell you what God told you. You can't tell me nothing. You telling me to get away from you. That's what you telling me. You remember the old prophet talking to the young prophet? And God had told him what to do. And well, brother, I can tell you. I had some preachers like that too, but let me keep moving. I got a lot of stories. I know my children used to say, we never heard that one. No, I got a lot of stories. But God has been good to me. He has really been good to me. And I understand this move like this. I gave you three. Let me give you one more. We are joint heirs with Christ. Now, Christ is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. This is real stuff, y'all. This is who we are. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how down you are. It doesn't change who Christ made you to be. See, you didn't make yourself this. Christ did the work. Okay? So you're not going to change it with your attitude or what you think. This is who you are if you know the Lord as your Savior. Are you with me? Okay, we are joint heirs with Christ, Romans 8, 14 through 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Well, God, I'm fearing everything. God, I got a fear attack. Yeah, that's why I had to get my ink pen out called Paul, and I had to write to you to instruct you what you don't need to do. You don't need to fear. You don't need to do that again. But you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. So really, God is saying too, when you get those moments, call your daddy. When you get the moments, say, Daddy, you didn't give me this spirit of fear, but it's lodging in my house. I want to put it out. And for some reason, my flesh want to keep his room in my life occupied with Mr. Fear. So I can cry out, Father, help me. Help me, this intruder, this fear I feel right now. It's been keeping me company too long. Come and evict that out of my life that I can walk in victory. See, I can have victory, but not walk in victory. Everything you have from God, it don't mean we walk in it. That's why he tells us to walk in the Spirit. See, if it was automatic, he would have to write walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. So we got a tendency not to walk in everything that we have. Okay, I'm through. Are you living like an heir of the King of Kings? Remember who you are and rejoice in who you are, even in troubled times, because it is a fact. You are who God say that you are.